Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
Well, have you ever in your entire life seen anything quite like this? Politically speaking, of course. Donald Trump, front runner in the Republican candidate's nomination for president of the United States, boycotting the final debate before the Iowa caucus takes place on Monday. The debate is scheduled to take place tomorrow night on Fox News. And as those of you know who have been following this, and you know what? Even if you haven't been following this, you know because of what Trump has done and the way that he's basically made news every time we turn around, dominating as far as who is covered in the news, making himself the primary subject, the primary issue, the primary personality to be discussed on the news networks for quite some time now. Some would argue that's because he's making a mockery of the process. Others would argue that that's because he is masterfully playing the media and having them give him favorable, well, not favorable in the sense of good coverage, but just a lot of airtime because of some of the things that he's done. Whether it's comments he's made, whether it's controversies he's had, whether it's attacks he's levied against some of the other candidates, some of his speeches, the massive crowds, whatever the reason. And you've got folks that are entrenched on both sides. Those that think that he is dangerous to the GOP, to the Republican Party. Those who think that he is making a mockery of the President of the United States, of the process of becoming that. And on the other side, you've got a group of people that think we have so much political correctness, we have so many problems. Government needs someone who's not just a little bit different, but one that's going to go in there and completely turn it on its head. Because we have, what, $19 trillion debt? We have ISIS. We have Russia, Syria, China. I saw a report yesterday that China was in our territorial waters off the coast of Alaska. In fact, I made a Daily Dose, I think it was a Daily Dose, recently saying that they had been close to our waters in Alaska, which they had been. Now, apparently, according to the article, which I do not have in front of me at the moment, they've been in U.S. territorial waters. You have the Iranians and a nuclear weapon, inevitable, moving toward that with their ability to enrich uranium, their desire to wreak havoc in the region around the world. Vladimir Putin, what's going on in Syria, ISIS moving into Europe. I saw an article yesterday that ISIS is planning or trying to execute special forces types of raids in Europe. They're moving from suicide bombers and lone gunmen to potential raids by special force types of teams. At least that's what the article said. That's what they're hoping and planning on doing. And by the way, when we read these things, keep in mind, thank God we are separated by a huge ocean, couple of huge oceans. Those of you that took geography in public school may not know, but there are two oceans, the Atlantic to the east, the Pacific Ocean to the west. And throughout history, those have been obviously major buffers. Of course, one of our borders, the southern border with Mexico, has become a sieve of all sorts of problems, ranging from those that simply want to enter America, I'm not justifying this, but simply want to enter America to experience the American dream, who are fleeing poverty in Mexico, crime, corruption, trying to sneak across the border to get a taste and to live under the freedom offered by America, under the prosperity that has been ushered in by American capitalism and liberty. You have people that are in that boat, and you have runs all the way down the gamut, from drug dealers to people that are doing other really bad things, criminal activity across the border, guns, and all sorts of violent crime, all the way down to potentially terrorists and those that not only wish to do harm, or, you know, create crime in the streets of America, but those that want to actually create terror in the streets of America. So for those that support Trump, they think to stop those two primary things, you need someone like a Donald Trump. Now, I'm just analyzing this at this point. Don't misunderstand. You know, I've learned that being in this, you know, doing a podcast, sharing my thoughts about things, which that's what I'm doing. I'm responding. I'm sharing some of the things that I think about these issues. And this Trump issue is one of the most controversial issues in the Republican Party, in the conservative movement. I mean, we've got Sarah Palin, Ann Coulter, who are supporting Ted Cruz. We've got the group of, 22 conservatives with Thomas Sowell, Glenn Beck, Dana Loesch, Andrew McCarthy, and 18 others, Bill Kristol, come out saying that we need to stop Donald Trump. We need to make sure that he never gets close to the Republican nomination. This is serious. The antics are more than enough. This man does not have the temperament to be president of the United States. And I joined a community online yesterday. It's a Tea Party community. I'm going to have to link it. I don't have the domain in front of me, but it's essentially created to be the Facebook community for conservatives. And I got on there yesterday and just simply asked, hey, you know, what advice do you have for a newbie? And someone got on there and said, a lot of people on here are having the Cruz versus Trump fight. And I read some posts, and that dominated it. And of course, this has probably dominated it since then. But this is a contentious issue. And people on both sides of this issue have very, very strong feelings. They're convicted of the things they think about these candidates, about the process, about, you know, whether Trump is good for America, whether he's an absolute disaster for America. If you want the, you know, one of the things I've thought about doing on here, and we might if we get into it today, I thought about presenting the Cruz versus Trump argument, or maybe I should say the pro Cruz crowd and the pro Trump crowd. I thought about trying to present their arguments or give them advice on how to do that, based on some of the things I've seen, which is honestly, and from my vantage point, oftentimes, those that are pro-Trump will say, you know, Cruz is a Canadian. You know, they'll come up with these memes or these GIFs that just, you know, show crews and a Canadian, like a Royal Mounted Police hat or a Canadian shirt, dancing around doing something silly, you know, and they'll say that Trump will make America great again. And they just go in, and basically they call one another stupid. One side will say, you're not a true conservative. The other side will say, I am a conservative. You know, you're supporting a Canadian. The other side will say, you're supporting a madman who's a Democrat in Republican clothing. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. On and on and on. And look, neither side's going to convince the other based upon those sorts of arguments. It's like saying, my dad's stronger than your dad. No, he's not. Uh-huh. Is too. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Uh-huh. I'm telling mom. I mean, this is the sort of thing this has come to. And I stand by my position that this is good. Look, I'm saying two different things here. I want to differentiate. I'm saying the idea that we are having this discussion, this debate, is very good. It engages the population. It forces us as American citizens, as those that have a deep concern for our country, to get involved and to hash this thing out. And I love that. I've said before, when I was in college, and you know, the average everyday American, because, hey, back then things were relatively good. I mean, the economy was good. Yes, there were definitely signs of terrorism that President Bill Clinton ignored. Didn't do enough about anyway, from the USS Cole to the attempted bombing of the Trade Center in, what, the early 90s, maybe 93, I think. The attack on embassies and military bases and so forth. But there wasn't this movement of ISIS. Al-Qaeda was over there, occasionally showing its face here, but not crashing planes into buildings yet, not killing 3,000 Americans on one day, not ushering in the so-called war on terror. Now we have those things, and compounding the problems of that, we have an atrocious economy. They can tell us all day. They can tell us that unemployment is at 4.1%. But you know better. You know that this isn't good. Wages are down. 50 million people are on food stamps. 94 or so million people are out of the workforce. Hours have been cut. Wages are stagnant or are down. Americans have lost wealth. This is not good. The federal debt is approaching $19 trillion. Very close now to $19 trillion. We'll be over $20 trillion once Obama leaves office, without question. You factor in the unfunded liabilities that we have, those that are going to be receiving government pensions and so forth. The number gets really high. I think it gets close to 100, like 90-some trillion dollars, something like that. It's an astronomical number. You know, I've said this before. A lot of times we think, you know, there's the people that believe in the idea of term limits. And hey, look, I'm not against term limits, but term limits treat the symptom. Term limits say these people cannot continue being our representative in government. All the truth be told, they will continue to get appointed as something. They'll be ambassadors. They'll be lobbyists. They'll be something. Term limits will only put a new name on the position of senator or representative or what have you. But there will still be a passing of the guard. I mean, these politicians, this is their livelihood. They're going to find a way to pass the baton off, to groom the next person in line, whatever, to continue to protect their skin. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be term limits, but my point is, what combats that is an engaged voter base. is a group of citizens like what's happening now, and we're not going to agree. The Cruz supporters are not going to agree that Donald Trump is good for America. The Trump supporters are not going to agree that another candidate on that stage can turn the country around and undo the things I've just laid out, and more, and many more. So what's going on here? What in the world is going on here? I mean, I've got several thoughts on this. And I'm going to start by saying Donald Trump, again, this is my analysis. I'm not saying that I agree or disagree or whatever. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just trying to lay this out because I think you're going to find most people are going to come out and call Donald Trump either a coward or something along those lines, or you're going to find people who say Donald Trump has, you know, shown his masterful skills at negotiation or what have you, right? I'm not going to take those positions. What I'm going to do is try to walk through what might be happening here. And look, you make up your mind for yourselves. This is the beauty of conservatism. Conservatism believes in free people, free informed people. I know some of you want me to say Donald Trump is out of control and needs to be stopped. And I know others of you want me to say that Ted Cruz is not eligible to be president because he was born outside the United States. I actually don't believe that to be true. That's something that's, I think, a position that can be supported. But I mean, look, I understand the concern because the Democrats will use that against us. In fact, they already have begun that process of challenging his eligibility. So I get the political realities of that. But I'm not going to choose one over the other and use this as a podium at this point to bash one. You can find that anywhere. If that's what you want, then that's not what the show's going to be about today. Instead, we're presenting ideas. I will argue for conservatism every time, because that's what's truly going to make America great. Yes, that along with a strong leader who's unstoppable, which is, I understand, the appeal of those that support Trump. I've said on here before, and I've got to stop and take a break here, but I've said on here before, let's say you have a conservative that's like Ted Cruz, for example. Let's say Ted Cruz is, you know, 98% tried and true, as pure of a conservative as you can find running for president, which I think is probably a fair assessment. And then you go to assess Donald Trump, which now this is where the big question mark is. Some people think Donald Trump's about 5% conservative. Some people think he's 90% conservative. But let's say he's 60%. I'm not saying he is or isn't. I'm just for the sake of argument. But let's say that Donald Trump, let me say it this way. Those that supported Donald Trump will think that he is going to be able to be, he is so driven and such an unstoppable force that he will be able to implement his 60% conservatism more effectively than Cruz will be able to implement the 98% conservatism. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm saying that that's how I think people are looking at this. And while Cruz is anti-establishment, Cruz also has been in D.C., and that in some people's eyes is an automatic disqualifier. That and the birther issue that's come before our attention, which, look, has never been a secret, by the way. And this has been known for a long time. Anyway, when we get back, we're going to go through a little bit of about what's going on here and what may possibly be where Trump's thinking on this and really what does this mean for the Iowa caucus and the primaries in general? So anyway, I'm going to stop and take a break. When we get back, more about the Donald Trump decision to boycott the debate tomorrow night. So sit tight. Be back in a minute. Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for our free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Sign up today by going to theantidotetoliberalism.com/newsletter. That's theantidotetoliberalism.com/newsletter. For you, the listeners of The Antidote to Liberalism, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I've been a member of Audible since May of 2014, and I love it. I've listened to novels, books on business, political books, you name it. In fact, one of my most recent downloads was given to me by one of our listeners, Ben Carson's America the Beautiful. What a good man and solid presidential candidate. But if you'd rather check out a great novel instead, I highly recommend The 12th Imam by Joel Rosenberg. Of course, you'll want to get the rest of his books in the series after that, too. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/antidote. Again, that's audibletrial.com/antidote for your free audiobook. There's nothing to lose with this free trial, so why not give it a try? Well, welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Wednesday. It is January the 27th. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for joining us. Email, by the way, should you want to reach out and contact us, is todd@theantidotetoliberalism.com, or you can connect with us on Twitter at Common Sense Gear. Also, wanted to point out a few, well, really quickly here, we are changing our podcast host, and we've already started the process of doing that, and I'm going to apologize. When I click the button here, which I plan to do this week, very soon, it may re-release our episodes. And there's really nothing I can do about that because I have to move them to the new server. And so my decision is, do I make the old episodes, if I want to make the older episodes available, the only way to do that is they may be re-released, which may mean that in your iTunes feed, you might see a big number of new downloads from us. Just look at the dates on the daily doses. The file names will say, you know, number 59 daily dose and the date that I released that originally. So it would say like 1/15/16, just as an example. And then on the full-length podcast, this podcast, you'll see the way that those files are named in iTunes will be episode, it'll just say number sign 108 and then the title of the program, the title of that particular episode. And this is episode number, I think it's 113. So today is 113. You know, if you're looking for current episodes and you see that it says episode number 49 is new, that's not new. That's been, 60 episodes or so ago. So anyway, I apologize for that in advance, but it's just the way that this is going to have to work. There's a chance it's not going to do that, but I'm very confident that that is going to happen to you. So I apologize in advance. Please forgive me. Growing pains and just in changing a few things to make them better. And so SoundCloud will be on SoundCloud, incidentally, too. So you can listen on iTunes, Stitcher, our website, theantidotetoliberalism.com. Or you can go to SoundCloud. And look, if you're listening in SoundCloud or if you're listening from the website and you like the program, like it. That helps us find new listeners. Click that little heart there, and it'll show up when other people are searching for it in SoundCloud. So anyway, back to really what I want to talk about today. I have a lot of thoughts on what is going on here. And I don't have answers, but I have some things that I've thought about. And first of all, the first obvious question to me is Trump really going to go through with this? And is he really not going to participate? I mean, if you listen to his campaign, and this is, I'm reading in an article from the Washington Post. They're quoting his campaign manager, which, bear with me as I flip the name, or flip to find the name here, Corey Lewandowski. Apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. Corey Lewandowski says, quote, he's definitely not participating in the Fox debate. His word is his bond. Now, I know those of you that are not Trump supporters kind of chuckle when you hear someone say his word is his bond. And conversely, the Trump crowd is cheering this statement because they believe his word is his bond, and they also believe that we need someone with his mindset. But the first question is he really going to follow through? It sounds like he's going to. But as we've learned from Donald Trump, we need to expect the unexpected here. I mean, he may tell us today that he's going to host his own debate. I mean, I don't know. Cruz has challenged him, incidentally, to a one-on-one debate. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if Donald decides to do that. But, I mean, look, I see no reason why he would do that. I mean, why go one-on-one when, which again, but Trump's unpredictable. But Cruz is out there, you know, challenging him to a one-on-one debate. So who knows what'll happen with that. But this is not going to hurt him. I think we can all agree with that. This is not going to hurt him, at least with his base. His base has bought in. His base of supporters have bought into the idea that we need a radical change in American politics. And that Trump embodies that. And yes, he says things that maybe shouldn't be said from time to time. And yes, he has a history of donating to politicians, but they don't care. Or excuse me, politicians that are Democrats and liberals. Hillary Clinton, I mean, take your pick. Rahm Emanuel. But I mean, we've learned that Trump is rarely hurt by stuff like this. Now, this one may be different. I mean, that's what all the conventional wisdom is. Every time he does something, they say, this may be the thing that's different. Well, at some point you have to say, he has a way of getting through these things without much of a problem. So I think this is not going to hurt him with his hardcore supporters. It may hurt some. You know, I think his attacks on Cruz maybe have moved some, not many, but possibly some of those that have supported him from the beginning. In fact, I've heard some of those folks call in to other shows. But does this decision not play directly into the hands of the brand that he's created for himself? The brand that says, I don't play by the silly set of Washington rules. I'm not going to be the puppet of Fox News. I'm not going to let them make money off of me. What kind of a deal maker would I be if I did that? I mean, the idea, I've heard people say, and, you know, the other candidates have said, you know, Trump's afraid. Trump's afraid to defend his ideas. Trump's afraid of questions by Megyn Kelly. I think that's just not the case at all. And I think that's the wrong way. If you're going to argue against Trump, that's not the way to do it. I mean, use it to say, look, this behavior, this sort of decision, this sort of hot-headedness, this sort of off the wall, in the moment, reactive decision making is not what we want in a president of the United States. I think that would be a much better route than to say he's scared, because that's just, I mean, by now, even if you don't like Trump, I think you would agree in saying that his top weakness is not that he's afraid. In fact, you could argue that because he is so prepared to show you who he is not afraid, he might be more likely to do something that is not advised, that is not wise, that is not prudent. And that might be the better way. That would be the better way to attack him, I think. He's not scared of Megyn Kelly. He's not scared of facing anybody. Not saying that he'll be able to adequately defend his ideas and positions. Not even saying that he plays by those rules even. But anyway, this idea that he's afraid, and this idea that this was sort of a last-minute decision is just something I don't think that that's the case at all. I mean, this is very deliberate. He's working towards something, and we've talked about, well, I've got a few things jotted down here. We're going to have to move on to a commercial break here, but this isn't something he just woke up today and said I'm not, or yesterday, and said I'm not going to do it. I mean, he's very strategic on this. He's proven that he can come out on top, and I don't know that he will here. Anyway, fascinating to watch. And you know, hey, the decision here as to what we do collectively, electing, you know, nominating Trump, nominating Cruz, nominating Rubio, what have you, is monumental. So these things are highly important, and it's good that more people are engaged in this. I like that. But this, there's a whole lot going on here and a lot to sift through. So anyway, going to take a break. When we get back, a few more thoughts I have about this and some of the things he might be up to or some of the things that might be motivating this this decision. So anyway, going to stop and take a break. Be back in just a minute. Sit tight. I'm not a full-time podcaster, but I play one on this show. My daytime job is running a small business called Huff Promotional Strategies. We are a graphic design and promotional products company that helps clients with a wide range of projects ranging from logos and websites to promotional products and apparel. We have experience working with well-known brands, small businesses like ours, and everything in between. So if you need help with marketing or promotional products, why not give us a try? Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today for more information, and you'll find a 10% discount code that we will apply to your next order. We work with businesses, churches, schools, civic groups, sports leagues. You get the idea. Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today to learn more and to get your 10% discount code. That's huffpromotional.com/podcast. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. You know, before the break, we were talking about Donald Trump, as we have this entire episode, because this is a big deal. This is unprecedented, really. And this is a shorter segment, so I've got to get right to it. So we raised the question, is he really going to follow through with this and not participate? According to his campaign, absolutely, that's what he's going to do. Secondly, we discussed that this probably, in all likelihood, will not hurt him along with his hardcore supporters. They are committed to the cause. They have bought in. They are ready to defend this guy. Thirdly, we said that this plays into the brand that he's created for himself, which is, I don't play by the silly set of Washington rules. I'm someone who is going to radically transform our politics because in the way that we do things in Washington, because those that are there, in his words, are stupid idiots. They're inept, they're not qualified, they don't know what they're doing. But there's a few other thoughts I have this. This definitely differentiates him from the field. And of course, this is dominating what you'll find on any news today. Talk about Donald Trump. But this absolutely differentiates him from the field. You know, other candidates can go in there and say that they're against, that they're not for the status quo, that they're going to shake things up in Washington. And as they say that, and I'm not suggesting that they won't, but then you have this guy who shakes things up in a big way. Now, some people may say this is exactly the sort of thing that's not going to help him shake things up in Washington. It's going to be such a sideshow that he's going to be able to get nothing accomplished. And I think that that's a valuable perspective. I think that, you know, that needs to be strongly considered. But there's others that say, look, This is the sort of maverick mentality we need to straighten things up in D.C., and it separates him from everyone else. He maintains a space in our mind just from a pure branding perspective that is different from the other candidates. And he's, as a result of this, he's going to dominate the conversation for the next few days. Also, I want to point out that many times when he does something bold, brash, makes a comment that's controversial, whatever, the immediate fallout of what he says and does, once that settles, you oftentimes see support moving his way. Will that be what happens here? I mean, you've seen that some of his supporters have defended his decision not to be on the debate stage tomorrow night. But will he end up getting more support? Or is this the thing that's going to cause people in the Republican Party to say, you know what, maybe those folks that wrote the article in National Review, the case against Trump, maybe they're right. Maybe this sort of behavior, while I appreciate a lot of what he's done, this is the thing that just illustrates he's not ready to be president. This is not presidential. This is not helpful. He needs to be up there on stage regardless of who's asking the questions. I have some other questions, though. Was he worried about losing Iowa? You know, polling shows that he and Ted Cruz are essentially neck and neck in Iowa. And if he was possibly going to lose Iowa, in his mind, you know, because, look, he's not had the ground game that some of these other candidates have had, was this a strategic move that would give him an excuse in case he does lose Iowa? He can point to this and say, look, I didn't expect to win Iowa after not going to their debate. They were mad at me, but Iowans love me. They love me. They think I'm great. They love me. I couldn't participate in what Fox did because they're destroying me. They have a personal grudge against me. You know, I'm the outsider here. They're rooting for the establishment candidate, Jeb or Kasich. I mean, I'm just telling you what Trump might say. Because if he was to win without an excuse, that look of invincibility may sort of fade. I'm not suggesting this is the case, but is this a possible reason? Factor that with the truth that he, or with the likelihood that he will almost certainly win New Hampshire, if we're looking at current polling. And if he has an excuse for losing Iowa, and he wins New Hampshire, then, and he's still leading in the polls as we move into South Carolina, I mean, that might help him continue his talks on winning and, you know, the things that he's been saying. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. And look, I've mentioned this before. I don't buy the argument that he's afraid of Megyn Kelly. I think that's plain silly. I really do. And I would, if I was a presidential candidate or if I was someone advising here, I would say, look, this is not the right road to go. Question his decision-making. Question if he's presidential material. You know, point out that he's helped, you know, do a lot of things, shake up the PC crowd, but this guy's off his rocker. I mean, I think I would go that route more than saying he's afraid of Megyn Kelly. I think that's childish. I would just replace the word afraid with something else. If he can't deal with Megyn Kelly, he can't deal with Vladimir Putin. He can't deal with the Ayatollahs. Not that we should be, but I'm just, you know, he can't deal with ISIS or the situation with terrorism around the world. Which really brings up the last question, which, does this all make him look childish? Or some of you that may already think he looks very childish in general, does this make him look more childish? But ultimately, at the very bottom of all of this is the question, does this hurt him? I mean, it may make him look more childish. It may make him look less than invincible. It may call into question his decision-making. But does it hurt him? That's the real question here. Anyway, I've got to stop and take one more quick break. When we get back, we're just going to wrap up for the day. So sit tight. Be back in a minute. Are you looking for an alternative to employer-provided health insurance? Maybe your rates have skyrocketed, or maybe your employer doesn't provide health insurance. And then you visited healthcare.gov and realized how much of a debacle Obamacare really is. Why don't you take a look at what my family and I do for our healthcare needs? We're members of Samaritan Ministries, and we absolutely love it. If you're looking for a biblical, non-insurance approach to your healthcare needs, visit theantidotoliberalism.com/healthcare to learn more. And as an added bonus, my listeners will receive an exclusive $50 credit, but only when you complete the application on my website. Go to theantidotoliberalism.com to apply or to get more information. My family and I love it, and we think you will too. God bless. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. You know, just going to wrap up real quickly here today. As we've dedicated this whole episode to talking about Trump and his decision not to go into the Republican primary before the Iowa caucus. But the bottom line of all these questions, all of these things that come from this, all of these potential reasons as to why he decided to do this. Trying to brand himself? Is he trying to establish his position? Some of you may think he really just is a reactionary decision maker who said, I don't want to do this. And if that's the case, what does that mean? How does that make someone presidential? I mean, all those things that flow from this. The question is, does it hurt him? Or maybe better yet, does it help him? Because at the root of this, and this is why, you know, I listen to Rush, and I know he takes flack sometimes because he's not come out to attack Donald Trump. Some people say that he is a Donald Trump supporter. I wouldn't say that. I mean, he's actually said, I think, more favorable things about Ted Cruz than he has Donald Trump. But he has stood by what Donald Trump is doing for this process. In general, not specifically his cheerleader or, you know, the one that carries his water. But we have to let this thing play out. And you have to make your own decisions here. I mean, some of you have been against Trump from the beginning. Some of you have moved his way. Some of you have moved back. Some of you don't know. And that's okay unless you're in Iowa. If you're in Iowa, you better figure this out. Because you're voting. You're caucusing on Monday. But the rest of us can sit back and watch this for a bit. I will say this, and this is not for or against Trump. There are definitely things that raise questions. There are lots of things that raise questions about Donald Trump. You could say eminent domain. You could say support for candidates. You could say some of the way he handles issues. You can make those cases anyway. But what makes him so appealing to people is that we are in such a mess politically that we need someone that's just not going to go in there and tinker with a few things. We need someone that's going to slam on the brakes. Some of the biggest ones would be against terrorism, against border security or enforcing border security, and improving the economy. And when you look at those things, while you may not like Trump, I may not like Trump in some ways or many ways or what have you, but when you look at those things, people can make the case that he is strong on those issues. You get beyond that, you start talking about constitutionality and the appointment of judges and what happens if he appoints a Supreme Court justice, and on it goes. He talked about reaching across the aisle. You know, what did he mean by that? Does he mean that the same way that Lindsey Graham and John McCain do, or is he just meaning that to show that he's going to be able to win the negotiation? I don't know. But the bottom line is, all this could be academic. All this is academic until we get to the polls and see what this really means for him. And I don't even know after Iowa if we can ascertain that. So anyway, never gets boring, that's for sure. And Donald Trump, if nothing else, has made this a very interesting political cycle. But guys, I've got to wrap up. I'm a little bit long here today, but as always, it's a pleasure to be here. Feel free to email me. I'd love to hear from you, actually. Todd@theantidotoliberalism.com, or you can tweet me @CommonSenseGear. So anyway, it's going to wrap it up. Appreciate you very much for being here. Have a great day. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.